Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Religious Education for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
This is your host, Margaret Alleria. I am here with my special guest, Deacon Stephen Nolte, as we continue our work on Love is Our Mission, The Family Fully Alive, moving into Chapter 4, To Becoming One. Deacon Nolte, can you start us off with prayer, please?
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, in Jesus, your Son, you've made us your sons and daughters in the family of the Church. May your grace and love help our families in every part of the world to be united to one another in fidelity to the gospel. May the example of your holy family, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, guide all families, especially those most troubled, to be homes of communion and prayer, and to always seek your truth and live in your love. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. It's so great to start these chapters off with prayer. It kind of centralizes us and brings us into just sacred moments. So our chapter 4, To Becoming One, last week we spoke about the meaning of human sexuality, and I think we survived that. It's not always easy to talk about sexuality, but when you put it up against God and the meaning of it and why sexuality exists and how it is a beautiful thing, and we remind ourselves that it's a beautiful thing, it's a very easy conversation to have, actually. Now we're talking about Two Becoming One, and some of these chapters really flow into one another. This one focuses on how we are made not to be alone. Human beings need and complete each other. Friendship and community satisfy that longing with bonds of common interest and love. Marriage is a uniquely intimate form of friendship that calls a man and a woman to love each other in the manner of God's covenant. There's that word again, God's covenant, or relationship. Marriage is a sacrament. Married love is fruitful and offered without reservation. And I'll stop there, Deacon, because a lot of times we join into holy matrimony or just matrimony or marriage with many reservations. Or initially there might not have been reservations, but as we get older and sicker and with less money, some reservations pop up and our divorce rate is just so high right now. What do you have to say about that?
You know, Margaret, I think that we discussed that a little bit in the second session. It's very important for us to understand that within this covenant, within this love for one another, there's always going to be the challenges of our broken nature, that we always come up against things that are difficult for us to follow. And yet God is calling us to be fruitful in that love regardless. As we go through life, things are going to come up. We're going to, I think I mentioned in that one, something to the effect of we're going to wake up the morning after the marriage and we're going to discover that his breath stinks or that her makeup has run or that the things we thought were so perfect suddenly aren't so perfect. And we begin to judge things. So we walk into marriage, and although we go in there with a good heart and a good intention, quite often we do it with reservation. And that reservation oftentimes is just that we've seen so many other divorces within our families, within the people around us, our friends, and within society, that we begin to wonder at the permanence of it and what is really the meaning behind it. And yet if we're fully prepared, if we really understand the words of Genesis, that the two shall become one, what does that really mean? It means becoming something other than what you were, and becoming a new creation in a very real way, but doing it with another person. And so within that, we have to understand that we walk into marriage, and so often we do it with this romantic notion of what it's going to be like. And yet we know also from experience that marital love has to be built on something much more than just romance. You know, that if we're really to be what we're called to be or what we want to be, to love as we were created to love, certain virtues are necessary. And we have to cultivate these virtues in order to fulfill our own destiny, or the destiny to which we've been called. And so that's the struggle for us. And as we face these challenges, if we don't build these habitual acts of love for one another, these habits of the soul and our spirituality to look for the good rather than the bad, then we're going to fall in the other direction. And that's where we face the reservations of marriage. We begin to doubt we don't trust. And that all goes back to even what occurred in original sin.
One of the things that I'd like to mention is that when we're not willing to give ourselves entirely to the other person, when it's solely about the physical intimacy, we're always going to be lacking. No marriage founded on mere sexual chemistry endures. Erotic partners focused mainly on possessing each other lack the interior skill of stepping back and making space for self-criticism, reconciliation, and growth. And so it's important that when we accept one another in a marital covenant, that we're accepting them completely, that we're accepting their body, their mind, their souls, and that we're ready to step into that commitment. I think a lot of times we're in this honeymoon phase already at the beginning of a relationship before marriage ever happens, and then it can fade quickly, like you said, once we realize that the other person's breast smells or there's habits that we don't like. That's why it's also very important to really know who you're getting married to. And Deacon Nolte, this is a plug for what you do in family life. Marriage preparation is very important. Some people mock the six-month period that we have to prepare people. It should actually probably be longer, considering all the different things that marriage entails. But what are some of the things that we do in marriage prep to prepare people for marriage as much as we possibly can?
Well, we obviously, you want to point out the fact and reality of what happens in the world around us, what the culture wants us to believe, that it's not necessary for God to be with us, that it's just as good to go out and get married by the JP or to live together, that it's not necessary to have children, that you can contracept, that all of these issues of cultural and even Catholic social teaching issues come into play and make us wonder, make us doubt. And the culture continuously pounds us with these ideas. And so in marriage prep, we try to counter those. We try to point out the realities. For example, you have to understand that the sacramental commitment is a real work of love, a real labor of love. It's not something you just do on your own, and that it's an essential ingredient of God's covenant. We spoke last week a little bit about having God in our life. Well, if we don't have Him in the center of that, if we're not focused on Him, then we're not fulfilling that for which we're made, which is to love and to give ourselves. If I place limits on how much I give of myself to my spouse, then I'm actually not following God's plan for my life. And whenever I fail to follow God's plan, I'm almost guaranteed that in one way or another I'm going to fall, that things are going to come up. I'm going to go home and decide, well, you haven't done anything for me today, therefore I'm doing nothing for you tonight. Supper's not ready. Why not?
What'd you do all day?
Exactly. And we begin to doubt the good of the other person. We begin to doubt their love for us. And that's that self-centeredness. And if we don't focus it on God and the understanding that we are to become one, that becoming one involves giving up part of who I am and taking on part of who she is, and vice versa, that we come together to form that unity, that communion of persons that really and truly images God.
Well, and it's definitely not easy. I can imagine that you've had some shaky points. I've had some shaky points. Marriage is not just a continuous flowing river with no bumps in it. There's waves. There can be tsunamis. I mean, it can be tricky.
People throw rocks in those rivers, and once in a while you stumble over them as you're going through that.
Pope Francis recently made this point, and it's addressed in this chapter to Becoming One. But you both know that marriage is for life. We love each other so much, but we'll stay together as long as the love lasts. When it ends, we'll go our separate way. Well, this is selfishness. When I feel like it, I'll end the marriage and forget the one flesh that cannot be separated. It is risky to get married. It is risky. It is this egoism which threatens it, because we have within us this possibility of a dual personality. The one that says, I am free, I want this, and the other which says, I, me to me, with me, for me. Selfishness always returns and does not know how to open up to others. And so in marital love, we are called to be selfless. But it's not easy. Again, we have this consumerism, we have this individualism, we even have moral relativism where I think that morality is this, and you might think that morality is that, and as long as we don't interfere with one another's lives, then it's not going to get in the way. So how would you suggest that other people be selfless in marriage?
Wow. How much time do we have? All day? You know, the reality of it is we have to put the other person in front of ourselves. Bottom line, it comes down to I am not all there is. I am not the center of the world, but that I was put here to be with others. And this person that I have chosen to be with, this woman or this man whom I have married, you know, if you're a woman, not a man, but this person that I have chosen to marry, I need to be the right person for them. I need to do everything in my power to lift them up and make them more beautiful, more beautiful and perfect than they are currently. Not to change them, but to encourage them to rise to the highest peak.
Helping them get into heaven. Stay with us. Labors of Love. We'll be right back.
This is Labors of Love.
The Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Vocations will present Explore, a discernment retreat, July 28th through August 1st at Camp Zephyr at Lake Corpus Christi. Explore is a summer experience for young men who want to understand their faith better, know themselves better, and make new friends. Catholic young men who are enrolled in high school or who will be enrolling this fall, as well as recent high school graduates, are invited to participate and to explore. The staff consists of priests, deacons, seminarians, and others who are considering a vocation to the priesthood. The Office of Vocations is waiting for your phone call, 334-2781. This weekend retreat helps young men decide if the priesthood is what God wants for them. 334-2781.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Deacon Stephen Nolte, and we are discussing Love is Our Mission, The Family Fully Alive, which can be found online, and we are on Chapter 4, 2, Becoming One. This is a 4 out of 10 part series where we're focusing on the Pope's visit to Philadelphia at the World Meeting of Families. And Deacon Nolte, before this, we talked about how we're called to be selfless. A lot of times our human nature brings us back to selfishness. But there are certain things that the church can help us with in terms of keeping our marriage strong. What are some of those things?
Well, first and foremost, of course, is the Eucharist, the sacraments. The church brings us to the fullness of our life in knowing Jesus and in allowing us to become more like him. And we do this through the exercise of the sacraments, through the practice of virtues, to receiving the graces that the Holy Spirit wants to give to us. If we're to have confidence and know that we are living the Christian way of loving, which is a selfless way, then all of these things come together and help reveal to us who we truly are, who we're supposed to be. You know, the bond and the practice of Catholic marriage really makes sustaining grace real and present to us in a very efficient way. You know, when we get caught up in the things of the world, we turn away from those very gifts that the church wants to offer us. We reject, for example, the church's teaching on our married love and on contraception, and we place these barriers between our love. We don't give ourselves totally and freely. When we step in and refuse to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, for example, those moments in which we have these breakdowns in who we are as people, and these things that we do to harm one another, to hurt one another, we have to reconcile. And that reconciliation, you know, if you understand that sin is a rupturing of our own person, the nature of our person, so within ourselves there's an interior disruption of who we are. Exteriorly, in our relationship with one another, there's a disruption in that relationship. And even more than that, there's a disruption in the relationship that we have with God. Well, when we go to reconciliation, that reconciliation in the person of the priest reconciles us to God. And it also, through the person of the priest representing the community, reconciles us to the community. And then finally, interiorly, we are absolved of that sin. all of these things that the church makes available to us and insists, the church doesn't make laws to punish us or to
make things hard or difficult.
Right. I mean, is to help us fulfill the promise of love, is to help guide us more fully into that which we're called to do. And so all of these things together and so many others that you can't cover in a single day or even in a year, there are so many things that the church offers to us that Jesus gave the church in order to bring us to that fullness of love. And that's what we're really created for, is to love. And to do that in marriage and to do that in life, we have to become two becoming one. That we have to join together and become of one mind and one heart in God.
Well, you're right. Whereas marriage might have been exciting to many people a while back, marriage can actually be a little frightening to some people now, because as you mentioned, we see our friends, we see our relatives divorced, we see people going on their fifth marriages. And so marriage is not easy. As a matter of fact, Pope Francis teaches us, matrimony is a work of every day. I can say a craft work, a goldsmith's work, because the husband has the task to make his wife more woman, and the wife has the task to make her husband more man, to grow also in humanity as man and as woman. And this is done between you. It is called growing together. This doesn't come from the air. The Lord blesses it, but it comes from your hands, from your attitudes, from your way of living, from your way of loving one another. Make yourselves grow. Always act so that the other grows. And so in this selfless giving, we're constantly looking at the good of the other person. And then when children come into the picture, we're constantly looking at the good of the children. Now, that is very selfless, but that also helps us grow.
And that's the idea of what we're there for, is to help one another. You know, I think today many people are really afraid of making that definitive decision to marry, to give themselves to freely, without reservation, to really reach into that relationship and say, not only with you, but also with God, because I'm afraid of what God demands. We look at the things that affect our lives, and it almost seems impossible. And I remember, I believe it's Scott Hahn I heard once say that, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so we go into this with this mentality and a culture that says, stay together as long as you're happy. Stay together as long as the love lasts. But what do we mean by love? What does it really entail? And I think that we have to recognize first and foremost that love is a relationship, is that relational giving of ourselves. It's a growing reality. And we can almost say that it's built the same way that we build a house, that we do it together. We can't build it alone. And that to build it, we have to build it on the true rock of God's love, of that foundation that He gives us, most especially in Christ, and that we mustn't allow anything at all enter into our hearts or in our minds that says, you can throw it away, it doesn't matter. This is built forever. This is an eternal love that we're seeking. It's the love of God, and we're finding it through and with one another.
So what would you say to a family that might be struggling, they're despairing, they feel no love, so to speak, they've fallen out of love with one another? I mean, these are really challenging things that many relationships face.
Well, I think it's interesting that we use the word fallen out of love, for example, that we're falling out or have fallen out of love, because in scriptures, and when we think about it, what happens? We fall into original sin. When it comes to love, it's something we ascend to, we assent, we give a yes, and we rise to it. And I think it's very important to recognize that, because even within marriage and reaching into the virtues and those areas that help us grow, is something we have to rise to. We have to reach higher, always higher. And that's what the man and the woman are supposed to be doing, is helping each other to that next rung of the ladder, reaching closer and closer to God, to be centered more on His love, to recognize that alone we're going to fail. We can't do it of ourselves because we can't sustain ourselves.
So one of the things we're called to have for one another then is mercy, since we will fall and not sustain ourselves the way we always should. What would you say to someone that says, well, my wife or my husband had an affair and I just can't find it in myself to have mercy or forgive?
You know, every situation is different, and some people are capable of reaching that in a particular time. But, we have to understand that God calls us to the greatest act of love, which is total self-denial. This inability to say, I forgive you for something, is really placing ourselves before the good of the other. And I'm not here to say that we need to stay in relationships in which there are abuse or anything of that nature. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that if there's, you know, ongoing infidelities mm-hmm. and an unwillingness to change, that we need to stay in that situation. But I am saying that for our own good and our own not just sanity, but the good of our soul, that we have to be able to reach into that mercy that God has and allow God's mercy to work in our lives as well as in the life of the other person. Sometimes that does entail not staying together. Sometimes we're called to have mercy and forgiveness, but it's not possible at a particular time for us to reconcile, physically reconcile. And for various many different reasons within society, there are those times in which that marriage bond may not be there because it was not there from the beginning.
That's right. So for whatever reason, maybe pressure, duress, or someone was really unwilling to marry, but they found themselves getting married. Let's say that there was children in the picture. There might have been an underlying reason that would have caused someone not to have married in the first place.
Or, you know, there are so many things involved in it. We can go into that forever. But when you look at the whole thing, what is really entailed here is necessary that we enter into God's mercy and we ask God to have mercy on us. When we're in that situation and we don't know what to do, the best thing we can do is return to the heart. Where is the heart? It's the heart of God. God guides us to that love. God guides us to that forgiveness. God guides us to that peace. What does He give us in life? He wants to give us the abundance of life. He wants to make our joy complete. He wants to bring us, to give us His peace. This is what He wants for us. And we can only do that if we go to Him and ask for His mercy. Lord, I don't know how to deal with this situation. Show me Your mercy. Not my mercy, Your mercy, Lord.
So we call upon God and our wonderful Trinitarian God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to strengthen us so that we can give mercy to others.
I read recently one of the cardinals of the church, we refer to them the princes of the church, wrote a line, and he was speaking about mercy, and he said, mercy is the ultimate justice. It's not our justice, it's God's justice. It's not our mercy, it's God's mercy. And we can only get it through Him and with Him, from Him. And so we enter into that relationship. We always have to keep God foremost in our relationship so that we can see the other person through the eyes of God.
We are called to love like God and have mercy like God. Stay with us. Sacred Moments with Deacon Stephen Nolte is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
How often it is that we find ourselves in a strange or unfamiliar place, and in the moment of not knowing our surroundings, we become frightened or anxious because of a noise we hear. We may have heard the sound 100 times before in another place, at another time in which we felt safe, but here in this unfamiliar place, it frightens us. It happens often when someone from the city spends a night in the country. They lay down to sleep, and suddenly the world comes alive with sounds, birds calling, their voice lonely until an answering cry arises, coyotes howling, always far off but seemingly near, and brush rustling and crackling as some unseen creature moves through it, and our imagination runs rampant. Those brave enough not to be frightened might arise and go out into the night, to stand and listen more closely, trying to determine if there is any real danger. And if the night sky is clear, they will almost always marvel at the majestic multitude of stars in the night sky, for the city lights to which they are accustomed mask and distort the beauty of God's night, a time He has given us for respite from the toils and burdens of the day. To receive the marvelous gift of his light in the darkness of night requires that we step out into that darkness, even as we must trust him and place ourselves into his care if we are to receive the respite of sleep. As children, we once knew this, but as adults, we forget to trust in his ways and place more faith in what we can do for ourselves. We forget that simply closing our eyes and going to sleep requires an act of faith. Faith that God will watch over us and protect us. Faith that he will allow us to awaken to a new day. And faith that if we don't, we will be in his merciful embrace. Abraham was called to make a similar act of faith when the Lord appeared to him in a vision. During his exchange with Abraham, God told him to go outside and count the stars if he could, and that his descendants would outnumber the stars. Abraham was 99 years old at the time, yet he trusted what God told him. The most amazing thing about this exchange is that it was still daylight when God sent Abraham out to count the stars. Later, in the New Testament, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon responded, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." He did so, and once it was done, he and his friends caught so many fish that they had to get help to haul them in. God often calls us to move out of our comfort zone. Sometimes, if we're not listening, he will use fear to move us, fear of the unfamiliar, fear of the dark, or even fear of the deep. But he always does so out of love for us. He calls us out of our darkness to share with us the superabundant gift of his merciful love. Like Abraham and Peter, we must learn to trust him. In the light of darkness, faith enables us to see. May your sacred moments always be illuminated by faith, and may you always have the courage to put out into the deep, to step out into the dark night, and keep faith. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Deacon Stephen Nolte, as we continue our discussion on Love is Our Mission, The Family Fully Alive. Stay tuned. Our next segment is going to be Chapter 5, Creating the Future. We look forward to you joining us.
This has been Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. If you'd like to hear this or a previous program again, or download it to your device, browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Religious Education, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.